Welcome to this episode of the Pharmaceutical Executive Podcast. I'm Miranda Schmalfus, an editor with Pharmaceutical Executive. On this week's episode, I speak with Charlotte Owens, MD, FACOG, and Head of Medical Affairs and Outcomes Research at Organon. Charlotte and I discuss the broader societal implications of maternal health issues that are highlighted in the Commonwealth Fund study, as well as specific changes that are most critical to close the gaps in R&D for maternal health, how her in practice as an OBGYN helps her inform Organon's strategic approach, and much more. Without further ado, Charlotte, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
So the Commonwealth Fund study highlights the high maternal mortality rate in the U.S. Can you elaborate on the broader societal implications of these maternal health issues?
Thanks for the question, Miranda. I think that's an important point, what you're asking. When you think about maternal mortality and the crises that we're experiencing right now, it really does go beyond a single individual person being impacted. What I mean by this is that poor outcomes of an individual person can really have disastrous social and economic effects, not only on that woman, but her family and the communities around her. For example, if you think about birth complications, for that mom, it can lead to a substantial health expense for the acute care timeframe, but also potentially long-term, including potentially the need for blood transfusions, significant morbidity and mortality for the child also. When you think about this, we also have to realize that some of these complications don't have a short term. They can actually last longer. And so long-term care can lead to a reduction in one's ability to participate in the workforce and additional economic and productivity losses, again, not only for that individual family, but for society as a whole. And then there's a possibility to have physical and emotional impact that can last for a long time. It's really important to recognize that what we're talking about is not just about the impact to an individual woman through a very narrow definition, but it's about how this impacts our economy and our society as a whole. The facts are really clear. Investing in the health of a woman is important for not only that individual, but entire communities, including men, women, and children. And if we're thinking about this ripple effect, we need to really mobilize to achieve better health outcomes and turn a greater eye towards the needs of women everywhere. Now, how this can also manifest itself is with the realities that we face today. When we think about how many women, far too many women, are experiencing morbidity and mortality at really alarming rates. And it's partially due to a lack of access to the necessary maternal health care services that are needed. This is what we call maternity care deserts, which are counties where you don't have a hospital or a birth center that offer obstetrical care. In 2024, we can still talk about this, which is very sad. When you look at the March of Dimes data, nearly 35% of all U.S. counties are considered deserts. This affects nearly 2.2 million women and 150,000 babies. Then when you think about the next layer where you have limited maternity care, there's another 4.7 million women who are affected there. When you think about these barriers for women as a whole, it's even greater for underrepresented communities. Black women in the U.S. are more than three times likely to die from a pregnancy-related condition compared to white women, according to the CDC. So as a whole, the impact to our society is substantial. And this is what I think we have to really think about, is not only the impact to the individual mom and her family, but to society as a whole.
Absolutely. Those are staggering statistics. And it's so crazy to have those statistics in 2024 when we have the technology. I had a recent talk about pharmacy deserts, but you mentioned another type of desert in there. I figure if you get more niche with it, with the care, obviously there's going to be bigger deserts for those niche areas. So what specific changes do you believe are most critical to close the gaps in research and development for maternal health solutions? And then taking it a step further beyond identifying it, how feasible and easy are these changes to make?
No, great question. So, you know, as you're stating explicitly, research and attention to this area has long been underfunded and underrecognized. We've favored men's healthcare needs quite frequently, and this has perpetuated a lot of biases. And I think one reason may be that women's health is far too narrowly defined. We have really defined women's health to be equivalent to reproductive health and not really considering the health of the whole woman across her whole lifespan. Our definition here at Organon really encompasses just that, the health of the whole woman across her entire lifespan, and really focusing on the fact that not only are conditions able to affect you at one point in time, but they're interconnected so that some conditions not only have a place in one moment in time, but can have a place across her lifespan and be connected to other conditions. So we really have to think about the fact that before a woman gets pregnant, for example, that the health of that pregnancy is related to her health prior to the pregnancy, and that her health after the pregnancy is frequently related to the health during the pregnancy. So we really need to think about this and expand equitable access to maternal care services and the surrounding ecosystem, and incorporating the voice of the patient at the center of what we decide to research and develop. And change starts with several actions that I can think of. Number one, educating, inspiring, enabling, and empowering women to receive culturally competent health knowledge, and therefore allowing them the agency and the opportunity to really partner with their provider. Number two, to identify the connections with the social drivers or social determinants of health, which show us that 80% of what makes us healthy is outside of the healthcare system. So what are the conditions before and after that interaction in the healthcare piece? And what can we actually incorporate into our R&D efforts to make that holistic journey better? Creating new protocols for integrating patients that are pregnant and lactating into our clinical trials, really enhancing the real-world data collection. And we saw that, you know, this has been important at many times in our lives, but I think even more important now moving forward. Putting in place incentives for more providers, whether they're OBGYNs, nurse practitioners, physician's assistant, midwives, or doulas, to go into practice into rural areas or marginalized communities where maternal health care deserts or limited access exist, and provide the means for them to deliver care really robustly. And then let's not forget about the patients, really equipping patients and the caregivers and those trusted community members with the information and the resources that they need so that they're aware of the health conditions. They are able to participate in these conversations, and they know the signs and the symptoms of common birth complications, such as postpartum hemorrhage and preeclampsia, which can happen after she's home. It's time to recognize again that when we do this, that we're prioritizing unique needs of women to benefit society as a whole, from the clinical research perspective, the development continuum, as well as to the patient care and the community engagement, bridging those gaps to help make sure that we are better serving women to live their healthiest lives, and in return, creating a legacy for generations to come where their families and their communities and societies are better off.
A lot of information there. I didn't realize that preeclampsia was something that could happen after the woman goes home. That little scary for me, personal level, just because I don't have children yet. But back to our talk, can you describe some of the specific efforts that Organon is undertaking to invest in research, education, and its pipeline to focus on the critical areas of need in maternal health?
Well, we're taking a global approach and working with partners around the globe to really reduce significant gaps in women's health needs, which include contraception and maternal health, but is not limited to just that space. One of the reasons is that we realize that we need to make sure that women are healthy throughout the whole continuum for the reasons that we spoke about earlier. When we think about the area of reproduction, though, one of our key focus areas has been unplanned pregnancies. This is really a global public health crisis that impacts up to 50% of the pregnancies, and improving access to reproductive care for women and girls. We recently launched a program called Her Plan Is Her Power. It's an initiative that aims to reduce unplanned pregnancies and empower women and girls when it comes to their reproductive health. We've dedicated $30 million in funding over 3 years and have committed to preventing 120 million unplanned pregnancies by 2030. In the U.S., we're collaborating with Direct Relief and Power to Decide to provide grants and contraceptive product donations to clinics in high-need areas. And with Direct Relief, as an example, they have more than 4,000 clinics across the U.S. Along with Power to Decide, we're supporting a student reproductive health ambassador program at 5 historical Black colleges and universities. And we're investing in these conditions, which have been woefully underfunded and underappreciated for too long, such as postpartum hemorrhage, which is one of the most common complications affecting childbirth, up to 14 million women each year globally. Postpartum hemorrhage is a potentially life-threatening obstetrical emergency that requires real timely intervention. And yet progress has lacked in this space. And we need to make progress in this area to improve birth outcomes for mothers and their children. We're also focused on addressing gaps in research and development, including how we design clinical trials, placing them in a way where women and can participate more robustly, and putting the perspectives of the patients, and particularly the women that are in these trials, at our core need. What do I mean by that is really creating trials that are customized to be accessible, to be more readily available, and to be fundamentally more empowering for women to not only participate in the trial, but to take knowledge of being in the trial into their homes and into their communities afterwards.
Thank you for sharing that. So drawing on your in-practice experience as an OBGYN, which I thought was very unique for your work, that's great to have that angle. How are you informing Organon's strategic approach to addressing maternal health challenges?
I think fundamentally, one of the things I love the most about being an obstetrician gynecologist is really advocating and educating, inspiring, empowering women. Specifically, bringing the voice of the patient from real life experiences into the center of what we do, being present in the community and listening to what they need, to listening to how they're perceiving and understanding things. What are their challenges every day before, during, and after the healthcare experience? And then also gathering the same information from providers and communities and really recognizing that a key element of sustainable change is addressing these health disparities and the social drivers of health. Throughout my practice, I've seen way too many patients who need this sort of help and doing what I can to support them throughout their birth journey, which should be a joyful experience for mom and baby. But I've also seen firsthand how the impact of birth complications on that mom and her family, and really bringing that empathetic perspective into what we do and encouraging my teens, when we're thinking about our work, to put ourselves in the shoes of that woman, of that mom, to really consider her holistically, which really includes not only in that moment, but before, during, after, and figuring out how those social drivers really affect our health. As you know, Organon is one of the very few healthcare companies solely focused on advancing women's health. And we've seen the positive impact that cross collaboration at all layers, private and public and sector and the community area, how that collaborative approach makes a difference every day in the lives of a woman in her community, because it starts with her perspective. And from there, we understand what are the unmet needs and how can we address those across maternal health conditions, but also conditions that affect her at all stages of her life journey. Our research approach is really guided by a team of experts, including OBGYNs, PhDs, nurses, and pharmacists who really understand this and who are passionate about this every day. We are constantly listening to women and to their healthcare providers to really understand that we're infusing the science with the realities of their day-to-day life. When and if to start a family is a really personal and important decision for women, and we want to make sure that all women have the opportunity to access the best care that they can across the lifespan that they own. We are committed to partnering with healthcare community entities to really close this gap for both the maternal health and reproductive health and life health, so that we can accelerate meaningful change in the lives of women, their families, and the communities that they love and serve.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Charlotte. This has been a great talk, and I know that our listeners and our viewers are going to get a lot out of this.
Thank you so much. It's our pleasure. And most importantly, it's my pleasure to continue to serve at Organon, just waking up every day, being surrounded by people who are fully dedicated to this every day and everything that we do, not for ourselves, but to really be here for her, as we like to say at Organon, to really make sure that we're making a sustainable change in the health outcomes for women, those that they love, and their communities.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the PharmExec podcast, where we take you behind the headlines to provide expert tips from industry leaders. Remember, you can always find us on the web at pharmexec.com, on Twitter at PharmExec, and on Instagram at PharmExecutive. The views on this podcast do not reflect those of MJH PharmExec's parent company or our advertisers. For editorial questions or to get in touch with our editors, please email us at pharmexec@mjhlifesciences.com. And for sponsorship opportunities, please go to pharmexec.com/advertise. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time.